All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. It is 7 o'clock p.m. We'll do a roll call. Mr. Michelson?
Here.
Ms. Holcomb?
Here.
And Ms. Barker?
Here.
Great. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Just a couple of housekeeping items real quick, because we certainly have a crowd tonight. If you plan to give public comment tonight under any item on the agenda or under the general public comment period, please make sure you sign the sign-in sheet marked 7 o'clock by the door. Print your name and address there so that when the minutes are compiled, we know who's speaking when. That'll really help. So if you plan to speak, please make sure that you've done that. And then when we call for public comment, I ask that you step to the podium and state your name and address for the record. First item on the agenda tonight is approval of the minutes from April 4th, 2019, Committee of the Whole meeting. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve April 4th, 2019, Committee of the Whole meeting minutes.
Okay, is there a second?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the April 4th, 2019, Committee of the Whole minutes. Council discussion. Public comment on the minutes. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Great. Next up is approval of the biweekly claims. Ms. Holcomb?
I move we approve of the biweekly claims 15183 through 15186 for $2,596.09.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims, claim numbers 15183. And 15186 in the amount of $2,596.09. Questions on the claims? Ms. Holcomb.
Actually, I have a question on the cash report and the statement of expenditure budget versus actual report.
Okay.
The first one, I'm a little confused because at our last meeting, I asked about the gas tax because the operating line was negative and then it was gone, but now it's back in plus of $2,868.71. So I'm a little confused what happened there. It went away, it was there, it was negative, it went away, and now it's back.
Unfortunately, the person who really could answer that is April, and she's no longer employed here. The last time she explained this, the way she explained it was is that there was some cash that was set aside in a restricted fashion for future projects, and we released that restriction in order to bring cash back into the operating piece of the gas tax funds.
Okay. And then in the statement of expenditure, page 19 of 32, for the public works for 43000, but on the 430200 road and street services, why is there a negative $23,895 for professional services?
Your report's different than mine. 519. That wasn't a line that had been budgeted. So we had spending authority in the fund, but that was not a line. We had not accommodated any professional services in that budget. So it was all contained in construction versus in professional services. So it's a matter of using the object code. It's the way the bill was coded versus where the cash is. So the bottom fund balance is the one you want to look at.
Just thought that was a lot for professional services.
Those professional services was the snow removal.
But I thought that came out of gas tax.
That's the fund you're referring to. You're in the gas apportionment champ. Gas tax apportionment.
Oh, fund. You're right. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions on the claims? Any public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Great. We don't have any administrative reports. You'll see your department heads come before you at the next meeting for their reports for the previous 2 months. Guests tonight, going right into it, we've got representatives here from the Montana Department of Transportation to go over the projects that are here in the local area, primarily on Main Street and the Cutoff Road and Highway 93. Gentlemen, you're welcome to use the podium. You're welcome to use the podium. And
okay. My name is John Schmidt. I'm with the Department of Transportation. I'm the Missoula District Construction Operations Engineer. I appreciate you giving me the time to give you a little rundown on what we've got going. So I'll just give you kind of the basics of where we're at with the schedule. Our contractor currently plans on starting. We have three projects that are all tied together. We've got Lost Trail, Stevensville, and Stevensville, and they're split in Stevensville split into two projects. They plan on starting at Lost Trail approximately June 17th. That work will take around 4 weeks, and then they'll start paving the town of Stevensville July 15th and July 22nd. So there's two projects there. All that work will happen at night for the paving. There will be some work during the day. We have to do some bridge work on the bridge right out here on the side highway. That'll be happening during the day. Paving should be completed around the end of July, and then overall construction should be completed around the middle of August, would be my guess. As you're aware, we've started demoing and rebuilding some of the sidewalks in town here. We did do two ramps that we got poured back yesterday. We did two more today. There's approximately three more weeks of that sidewalk improvement work. So that work should run about to the time we start paving. So with that, I've got some pamphlets here that give the kind of the basics on what we're doing at Lost Trail and what we're doing in town here. With that, I can open it up to some questions. If anybody has questions, I'm more than happy to field them.
Are there any questions from the council or from the public?
John, it might be a good thing just to let people know that we are really working hard to communicate the impacts of these projects in real time. One of the things the department has set up is a text alert number. So if you text Stevi, S-T-E-V-I, to 555-888, that'll sign you up for regular project updates. And we'll be pushing out updates really anytime there's a major material development in the project, particularly things that would impact traffic or pedestrian traffic or change someone's daily lives.
Okay. And all that information is included in these handouts, and I can leave them here with you guys for people to take as they need.
Sounds good.
Can we each get one as council?
Yep. We'll hand them out to the council, and then whatever's left over we can make available for citizens.
Absolutely. We have more of these also.
Okay, sounds great.
If more people
we can put some at the front counter for customers as they come in as well.
So.
Thank you.
Okay. Move on to correspondence. We've got a couple of items the council's been provided with items we've received since the agenda's been published. First item is from April Van Tassel, dated May 13th, 2019. Dear Mayor Dewey, please accept this letter as notice that I will be resigning from my position as finance officer for the town of Stevensville, effective at 5 p.m. on Friday, May 17th, 2019. Thank you for your support and dedication to the citizens of this town. I have, and until recently, enjoyed being part of your team. I will truly miss working with you and the town staff. However, outside influences have created an environment that I can no longer tolerate. I am more than happy to assist in any way possible within the time allowed by my new employer. Sincerely, April L. Van Tassel. Next piece of correspondence comes from Dan Clark with the Local Government Center of the Montana State University Extension Service. And it is dated Wednesday, thanks gentlemen, May 15th, 2019. Dear Stevensville Mayor and Council, as you know, the mission of the MSU Local Government Center is to strengthen the capacities of local governmental units and provide training, technical assistance, and research services to elected, appointed, and administrative officials. I have been made aware that the Town Council in Stevensville recently canceled its council meeting, claiming Dan Clark from the Local Government Center said they couldn't have a meeting without a clerk. This action resulted in the mayor canceling all future meetings of the council until the issue could be clarified by me. The language from the mayor and council appears to be an attempt to use the Local Government Center as a weapon in a continued battle at Stevensville Town Hall. As you might imagine, I am very concerned when technical assistance from the Local Government Center is used in this manner. At the Local Government Center, we strive to provide unbiased advice without taking one side or another in a conflict. Our interest is only in providing practical, nonpartisan advice for local government officials to consider in consultation with their own legal counsel. As to the current issue, I must clearly state that in the past 11 years, I do not recall ever being directly asked if a town should cancel its council meetings because the town clerk is unavailable. I have often stated during training sessions that by law, MCA 744511, it is the duty of the clerk to attend all meetings of the council and record and sign the proceedings thereof. This is done in the context of closed executive sessions of the council. Town clerks are important to the function of city government and its operations, but by no means are they a linchpin of town government, and in their absence, all operations stop. I am unaware of any reference in the MCA prohibiting town council meetings when a clerk is absent or unavailable. The law states it is the duty of the clerk to attend all meetings, not a requirement that meetings must have a clerk present to take minutes in order to proceed. I have not been asked nor given technical advice to the mayor or council members regarding this procedural question. I want to remind everyone, Stevensville has a town attorney with authority to provide legal counsel and advice on the issues. He should be the first person consulted when the town has a legal question or issue of concern. He is the legal counsel for the town and should be consulted as to the legal framework of how the town should proceed without a town clerk. If a town were to ask the Local Government Center for technical assistance on this issue, I would first ask if the town's existing policy or ordinance, or town has existing policy or ordinance that answers this question. If not, I would reference the following. There's a page number over that. It's blank. Encourage the town to talk to their own, or to talk to their town attorney for official guidance. Mr. Clark then states in his email, Montana Code 7-4-4511, duties of the town clerk related to administration, and he cites 7-4-4103, officers of towns. He continues, I would also point out 7-4-4103, subsection 4, subsection A, the language there appears to suggest towns may have the potential for a city council member to act as the town clerk. I would suggest the possibility of having a town council member be selected to take minutes of the meeting in the absence of a town clerk, but also that the town must check with its town attorney. Once a response is rendered by the town attorney, then the town should memorialize the attorney's solution in the town's rules of procedure in case this question is raised again in the future. Governing a small town can get complicated, and that is why you have a town attorney and support from the Local Government Center, Montana League of Cities and Towns, and Montana Municipal Interlocal Authority. Additionally, in fulfillment of its mission, the Local Government Center is often asked technical assistance questions related to local government. Responses to these questions are given either over the phone or in an email. The Local Government Center does not and has not used Facebook as a means of addressing technical assistance questions or communicating to cities and towns, nor will it do so in the foreseeable future. I would suggest that any claim otherwise is misguided. Governing at the local level is about solving problems, not creating them. I would strongly encourage the mayor and council to proceed thoughtfully, intentionally, and deliberatively to resolve the current disagreements. If there is a question, issue, problem, concern, my hope is you would figure it out and solve the problem rather than allow issues to fester and perpetuate. In my opinion, the recent and dramatic decision and reactions by both council and mayor are unbecoming and erodes the trust the citizens of Stevensville place in their elected officials. The loss of a clerk should not precipitate a crisis of governance. I encourage you to find a solution by engaging in thoughtful, deliberative communication and seeking counsel from the town attorney. Lastly, as stated above, I'm very concerned with my name and the reputation of the local government center being used as a means of justifying behavior and to advance a particular position. This is not the purpose or aim of the local government center. And I believe that from this point forward, it is in the best interest of the town of Stevensville that the local government center support the town of Stevensville with technical assistance only through its city attorney, Brian West. Having one point of contact will prevent further misunderstandings and disputes regarding what advice has been given. I wish you well as you strive to find appropriate solutions to the challenges the town faces and look forward to speaking with your own town attorney or with your town attorney as needed. Dan Clark, Director, MSU Local Government Center, Bozeman, Montana. Next piece of correspondence is an email to the council from Mark Harris. It states, "Hello, I attended the meet and greet for candidates for Ward 2's vacant council position. After listening to the candidates, it is obvious that Jim Cruz, by virtue of his previous council and mayoral experience, has a significant amount of useful attributes for this council position. However, he doesn't admit to any difficulties in working relationships with the current mayor or the office staff. I don't see how he might be able to improve the relationships with office staff or the current mayor, because in order to solve a problem, you must first admit to its existence. The attorney who investigated the troubles with these relationships documented them well. Dempsey Vick appears to have general experience that would be very appropriate for this position and has expressed a desire to help facilitate the proper working relationships between council members, office staff, and the current mayor. Please choose Dempsey Vick for this temporary position. Thanks, Mark Harris, 403 College Street." Mr. Michelson replied, "Mark, thanks for your input. I will have to correct you as the attorney who did the interviews on the clerk's complaint found no wrongdoing on Jim Cruz's part. It came down to an apology by me, and it moved on. The only source you got from this is the Bitterroot Star, and our town attorney backed it up. Regards, Bob Michelson." Mr. Harris responded again to the council, "Bob, I understand your position on this. Regardless, Mr. Cruz does not inspire my confidence that he will work to get the council and the mayor and office staff working together. I still advise you and the rest of the council to choose Mr. Vick for this position. Thanks, Mark Harris." A letter from Headwaters Wellness Center, May 22nd, 2019. "Dear Town of Stevensville Council Members, over the past several months, we have written letters of urgency calling upon the town council to work with the mayor and his staff for a better community. We have asked for you to put your personal feelings aside and try to focus on what is best for the citizens of this town. Since the last letter we wrote, we have lost yet another employee at City Hall, and her reasons for leaving are disheartening. April Van Tassel, City Finance Officer, cited to Mayor Dewey that outside influence made it impossible to continue working for the town. Now, we meet again for the appointing of yet another town council member. As in the past, we would like the council to consider appointing the person who will be open-minded and fair in decision-making. As small business owners, this vote directly impacts our businesses. We believe that Mr. Cruz is not the right person for this position. We are asking you to appoint Mr. Vick as the new council member for Ward 2. We believe he possesses fair-mindedness, integrity, and honesty. In addition, we would like to bring attention to the last vote for Ward 2, where the council president, Mr. Michelson, excused himself from the vote, citing a personal conflict. We would expect that he follows suit again and abstains from voting, as this is the same circumstance. Thank you for hearing our opinions. Amy Berglund, owner of Active Care Family Chiropractic. Renee Christensen, owner of Sapphire Medical Billing Services, office manager of Active Care Family Chiropractic. Andrea Buchanan, owner of Cedar and Sage Herbal Medicine. James Fix, owner, Your Energy Fix, Gretchen Spies, owner, Rivers Miss Gallery, Shirley Holm, owner of Sama Massage, and Cody Houchins, owner, Cody Houchins Massage. That concludes the written correspondence portion of the agenda. At this time, we'll open it up for public comment. It's an opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and please remember, have your name on the sign-in sheet. Public comment. Ms. Barker?
I would like to do a letter from Jim and Leslie Tadvik, if I could read that. This is from them.
Okay.
They asked me to. Did not know if they would be able to attend the meeting or not. So I am, too, as a citizen of the town of Stevensville. Town of Stevensville Council members, I am writing this memo to endorse Jim Cruz as the council person to replace Jerry Phillips in Ward 2. We have known Jim for a number of years and have found him to be exceptionally knowledgeable of state laws regarding towns and municipalities. In our opinion, this is what is needed to know his knowledge and experiences to our town government. Jim is also a homeowner and thus a property taxpayer, which we believe should be a prerequisite for the city council members and the mayor. It has been stated that he was defeated by a current mayor, which is true, but in our belief is only because two of the other very qualified individuals split the vote between them, thus allowing the current mayor to get in. We have been residents of Stevensville for over 65 years and 40 years respectively, so feel that our opinions should count for something. Please appoint Jim Cruz to the Stevensville City Council tonight. We need his knowledge during the budget process. Jim and Leslie Tadvik, 509 Mission Street, Stevensville, Montana, 59870.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further public comment? Ms. Roach.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. I brought people printouts so you guys can look at if you want to.
On the kiosk project, since the last presentation, we have completed the interpretive information on the panels. I would call it final draft. We have a couple of folks that are proofreading everything for us, for not so much for content, but just for grammar and punctuation and things like that. And we have a few additional businesses who have agreed to help with the cost of the kiosk, and they will be added to the one panel where we're listing all the contributors to the kiosk. I didn't bring enough for everybody here tonight, but I did hand out a number of these handouts, three-page handout, so I won't go through all the details with you, but this just gives you an idea. An overview of the main objectives of this kiosk. Number one is economic development. It's a way to draw people off of Highway 93 into town to spend more money and more time to help our businesses, the farmers market, and other organizations in the community. It also provides an overview of the history of Stevensville, our local business and industry, recreation, and the outdoors and all the wonderful things there are to see and do in the community. And as I said, hopefully we'll encourage people to spend a few extra hours, maybe a few extra days in the community and spend more money here. And it also, by offering 24/7 information, it allows us to put tourist information signs out on US 93, like this blue one, that then would encourage more people to turn off the highway and come into town. on the first page of this, and I have a larger version that I can pass around if anyone is interested. It shows a photo of, or a drawing of what the kiosk will look like when it's completed, and also an aerial view that shows the location of it in Veterans Park. The project partners on this project have been the Town of Stevensville, the Main Street Association, the Park Board, the American Legion, Fort Owen Unit Number 94, the Stevensville Civic Club, the Garden Club, a number of different businesses and attractions in the community. The contractors are providing some in-kind donated labor as part of their contribution to the project. And so I wanted to just give this update tonight so that you guys had one final chance to take a look at it before we send the panel information off to be fabricated. The final size of the panels is 48 inches wide and 36 inches high, so they're 3 by 4 feet each. There are 4 two-sided panels, so a total of 8 surfaces. And then, as it shows in the drawing on the first page, it will have a roof and lighting. And the idea is that the concrete pad that it sits on will tie in with a sidewalk that would go from the sidewalk on Main Street to the back side of Veterans Park, where the alleyway is, because there is more parking there, and particularly for ADA accessibility. This is important because when there are events at the park that involve veterans, oftentimes there isn't enough parking that's ADA accessible. So there's one space in front of the park, that there is more parking behind that can be used if needed, with a sidewalk that would then access the front of the park. So, and then the sidewalk obviously would access the kiosk also from the back of the park. The other thing that's nice is because this is located near the DMV, people from throughout the county come to the DMV to renew their driver's licenses, and so they would be able to learn more about Stevensville while they're here in town. Any questions?
It may be late to suggest this, but because we have so many lampposts, notices of events and activities that are going on, maybe a centralized bulletin board where it could be posted, you know, car meets and all kinds of various local things that wouldn't otherwise be noticed if you just stop there.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lorraine. Any other public comment? Mr. Moore?
My name is Joe Moore, 514 Central. I thought I'd start tonight rather than go through the rest of the agenda. This would be better for me. I want to begin by thanking the mayor for all his fine efforts and thank the members of the council for their work. I hope you all realize the work is about the journey, not the destination. Life is generally to be filled with and accepts change as we move forward. But we have not embraced that life or that journey lately in the last number of years. At this time, before we dive deeper into the agenda tonight, I really would like to beg that the council, all of you, consider resigning for the good of the town, or rather, to use a nautical metaphor, save the sinking ship. It has been a long time, too long, that we have forgotten what the council should be about. Like a ship at sea, there should be a captain and a sharp, caring legion of officers and crew to support in the right direction. Clearly, too many captains have no clear direction, but with guidance, care, and respect for the chain of command, the ship will move forward. We are now engaged in a sort of Titanic scenario, bow dipping port side, the passengers, as we, the citizens of Stevensville, stand waiting for direction and saving. Given all that has gone on in the past, people are jumping ship rapidly. Even some of the crew are desperately trying to save their souls. Realizing the ballast is tipped and filling as we are heading down in a rapid pace, even now with tonight's agenda, the scale seems to be tipped already, as from past agendas will indicate, and the downward dive will come rapidly, but we pray not. Please consider what you have done in place in this council in the past. Rest on your good works and continue to make good faith efforts despite all that goes on. For to save us, the town, from sinking deeper, please consider us before you consider your own personal designs. One captain, balance the ship, put us on our straight course, stop the sinking. If you won't change, then I beg you to resign. Thank you.
Further public comment? Yes, Gretchen.
Gretchen Spies, 317 Main Street. I would urge you not to vote for Jim Cruz, just because I feel that we need calmer, more thoughtful people on the council, and also someone who could handle their temper. The last time I was here, I did not appreciate having his vitriol towards me, just because I had a difference of opinion. I would like you to vote for somebody who will agree to disagree. Not everybody is right. Not everybody can be right all the time. But we need people that can agree to disagree and allow other people to have a difference of opinion. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Step on up.
My name is Russ Hanney, H-A-N-N-I. I manage Mountain Shadow Estates for G&T McFarland. Though it is on the outskirts of town by mile marker 19, there's still a business that affects Stevensville. We got 31 units there, and in that 31 businesses, everyone supplies and shops in town. And even though I'm not a resident in Stevensville at this time, I have been for the last, I've been here 50 years this fall. And 90% of that 50 years, I've either worked for Stevens in the town of Stevensville, or I've lived and I paid a fair amount of taxes towards property tax, towards school, and everything else. I know both individuals who are running to step in for town council. I know Jim personally. I know Mr. Vick personally. My opinion, you don't need Jim Cruz. Even though I like Jim as a personal deal, he is a hothead. He pushes his weight and his size around, makes a lot of threats. I cannot verify that he has not threatened me, but he has been boisterous around me. I've talked to several people who've scared to death of him. Mr. Vicks, who has the training both as a volunteer fireman, EMT, and also is going to college to get a business degree. So I think he would be a good fit here. Known him for, 6 years? 5, 6 years. I've never seen him once lose his temper. I've seen him always work with the kids around town and different things, and and like I said, I know both individuals personally. But as for a person who I think would do this, I think your best bet. And I'm like Mr. Moore. The more I read in the Star, I think all of you need to resign. Put in your letter of resignation tonight and start fresh. Because that's what we need. We need somebody here who, the old ways, that'll listen to the people and not put in their opinion and then talk outside of the council meeting. And there's been times that I've been in here at previous mayors. You guys always say, we got this open door policy. That open door policy sucks. As a business person, when I've had a business, you set up a time and a point to meet with the people. You sit there, you talk about it, and discuss it fairly and honestly. This here, all you hear, because I don't have to see a lot of things, I read it in the Star. And that's the only local paper we have. You don't get much out of the Missoulian. You don't get anything out of the Valley Republican. So, the only local Star paper we have is the Star. So, in my opinion, I think Mike is true and honest to what he says. And that I don't do Facebook, so I can't follow Facebook. So I'm reliant on what the newspaper says. And talking with different people, they all feel the same as I do. Not knowing that Mr. Moore, and I've known Mr. Moore for quite a few years, he had never expressed what he had told me tonight. And I was really, because that was my issue coming here, that all of you need to put in your letter of resignation tonight. Start fresh. Thank you.
Further public comment?
Yes, Ms. Knapp.
I'm Lori Knapp, 526 East 3rd Street. I've expressed a concern before about being represented as your constituent, Stacy and Robin. In your workings with the mayor, you would like to be consulted. You would like the mayor to ask you how things should proceed. That's really good. You should. However, in return, or in turn, you are not asking your constituents what we want. I have never been asked. There has never been a meeting of our ward. There is no representation of my ideas in anything that you are doing. I don't think that's the way to be a representative. There are other ways to ask you to represent my feelings. I could, as others have, threaten you. I could say, if you don't vote the way I want, I will make your life really difficult. I can commit a felony, as that person did. And I don't want to be in the position where I'm called on a felony. So I'm not going to take that representation perspective, but I am asking you, as my ward representatives, to understand that I have opinions, I live here, I look to you to represent me, and you're not. In the future, I would recommend that we have ward meetings, we have a specific time to meet, and that you collect ideas from other people, and you represent those, not just your ideas. Thank you.
Mr. Cruz.
Mayor, Council, public, I've heard a few things here tonight that really bother me. Somebody seemed to think I threatened somebody, and that's an absolute lie. I've never threatened anybody. Am I forceful when I talk? Yes. I'm a military guy, and that's the way I do it. Sorry, that's the way I grew up. Mr. Mayor, you have an obligation to enforce council rules. Under Section 10, addressing the council, subsection 2, second paragraph, any person making impertinent or slanderous remarks or who shall become abusive or disruptive during the council meeting shall be forthwith barred from further presentation to the council by the presiding officer unless permission to continue to grant it by the majority vote of the council. I've been slandered in here. I've been defamed by people I thought I knew. I don't need this. You don't need me on the council. I withdraw my application.
You go ahead.
Okay. Any further public comment?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. If there's no further public comment, we'll move on to unfinished business. Item 9A, excuse me. It's discussion decision to set a committee of the whole meeting to discuss the town of Stevensville Fire Department and Stevensville Rural Fire District interlocal agreement. Purpose of tonight's agenda item is to just allow the council to set a date for a meeting that we can invite the district to and further discuss the interlocal agreement. The fire chief is unable to make it tonight. He had another family obligation, and otherwise he'd be here to kind of give some background, but you've all met with him. So with that, I just would entertain a date for a committee of the whole meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Holcomb, you could be the. We're at your mercy now. You're the only one throwing a date out, it sounds like.
I move that we a committee of the whole meeting to discuss the town of Stevensville Fire Department, Stevensville Rural Fire District interlocal agreement on May 30th at 7 p.m.
Okay, is there a second? Ms. Barker.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to hold a committee of the whole meeting to discuss the town of Stevensville Fire Department and Stevensville Rural Fire District interlocal agreement on Thursday, May 30th at 7 p.m. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Further council discussion?
I just realized, is it going to disrupt your training?
No, we should be okay. We've got a youth association meeting and I have to work around it.
Yeah, but it's actually we have an extra Thursday this month. So.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. I just realized that after I made that motion.
At what time?
7 o'clock. Is that what you said, 7?
Yes.
Yeah. Any public comment on the committee of the whole meeting? Mr. Anderson.
Does this include the lease for the 208 Buck Street?
Yes.
Are we going to put that? Okay, thank you.
All right. Any further public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
And Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Move on to 9B, discussion, decision, selection of applicants to interview for Ward 2 council member vacancy. It appears that one application has been withdrawn, so you're down to one application. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to suspend council rules and bring up the, since there's only one, I'd like to bring him up for appointing a candidate. Unless you still want to go through the interview process with him.
It's entirely up to the council if they want to.
I can't hear you.
So, Mr. Michelson has suggested that council rules be suspended and that we move to new item or new business, item F.
Bring that all the way up. To
and appoint a candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position.
Correct.
And his question to the council was unless they prefer to move forward with interviewing Mr. Vick. How would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb?
I will second the motion.
Okay, did you make a motion or did you just suggest it? I misunderstood.
No,
I'm sorry.
I made a motion to suspend council rules. Take it up to.
So the motion has been made to suspend council rules and move to new business item F, discussion decision to appoint a candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position. It's been seconded by Ms. Holcomb. Further council discussion? Public comment? Yes, Russ.
You're passing the buck again. You've got a candidate that's already put his name in. Got one that quit. I don't see any hands going up that wants to take it. You've got one that's already here in prison that will take it. Why don't
that's
you
what we're saying.
Let him come in?
That's what we're saying.
That's what Mr. Michelson is suggesting is that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. But the way he mumbles, you can't hear a word he says anyway. You've got to have the voice. You got it.
Okay. No, let's be respectful. Let's be respectful.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate the apology. Okay, so the motion's been moved and seconded that we suspend council rules and go right to, use as plain language as I can, we're skipping right to the appointment, folks.
Okay.
Is there any further public comment on that? I'm sure I don't miss anybody.
Okay.
We'll wait for them to vote first.
Okay.
We're not quite, Janelle's ready to go. All right. If there's no further public comment or council discussion, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Okay. Motion fails. We'll stay on track and, I guess, address it later. Does the council want to formally select an applicant for interview under unfinished item B?
selecting applicant.
Correct. I didn't want, as the executive building the agenda, I didn't want to make the assumption that you would automatically interview both candidates or none or one or the other. I didn't know, and that wasn't my decision to make, so it's on the council's agenda tonight for you to choose who you interview. You very well could make the decision, dare I say it, to you're not going to interview any of them and re-advertise, but we're past the 30-day deadline to appoint this position, so yeah. that is an issue. But that's why the item's on the agenda, is for you to make that decision. This is your decision to make as to who you interview, or if you forego interviews altogether, as I believe it's been suggested by Mr. Michelson. Mr. Michelson?
I'll reconsider my motion. I'd like to reconsider my last.
Okay, so you're moving to reconsider the previous question.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think we can get another candidate in the right amount of time. By that time, it's going to be too drawn out. Although, I want to change my vote.
Okay. So we'd like the council to reconsider.
Yes.
Does the council have any objections to reconsidering?
No.
Okay, I'll again call for the vote. Councilmember Barker?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Okay. Let's move on then to new business item F, discussion decision, appointing a candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position.
I thought we already did that.
No. Well, the motion was to suspend council rules and consider item F.
That's what we're doing.
Okay. So that's what you're... Oh. Now is the
got
time
it.
Where you will make an appointment.
I got it.
Okay.
See, I was confused too. That's what I brought.
Okay. New business item F. Discussion decision, appoint a candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position. You have an application before you tonight from Mr. Dimsevic. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we appoint Dempsey Vick to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position.
Is there a second? Okay, Mr. Michelson? You second the motion?
Again.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Michelson to appoint Dempsey Vick as the candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 position. Council discussion. Ms. Barker.
I just want to let people know, too, that I understand that Mr. Cruz resigned, but I also have hard feelings with the fact that I had people that contacted me through the emails and had both sides were good. I had several from, actually, I had one from Mark Harris. I had one from a Nanette Seaman that responded to me in regards to Mr. Vicks. I had a Jeannie McKinley responded to me for Mr. Cruz, and then the Tadbits also for Mr. Cruz. So I just wanted to let you know, and my decision tonight will be on how I felt with both of those candidates.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Okay, motion on the floor is to appoint Dempsey Vick to the Ward 2 council position. Public comment. Mr. Moore.
I'm Ward 1, and I'll throw my voice on behalf of Mr. Vick.
Thank you. Okay. Further public comment? All right. Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Councilmember Barker?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Okay. Motion fails. How would the council like to proceed with the appointment to fill for a candidate?
We're going to have to re-advertise it.
Okay.
Can we still make other comments?
Not at this time. There's no decision being made.
Okay.
Okay, so this is This is, yeah, you've boggled my mind because this is not something I anticipated. I haven't had an opportunity to strategize this out. Because the council should take some sort of action. Will the council entertain a recess so I can consult with the attorney?
So moved.
Okay. Let's take a 10-minute recess. We'll reconvene at 8 o'clock.
They wonder what is the problem.
We'll reconvene at the Stevensville Town Council meeting, May 23rd, 2018. We are on new business. Item F, discussion decision to appoint a candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position. you've all been here, so you know what happened. I don't have to reiterate it. We took a recess, and I contacted Brian West, the city attorney, and asked him what kind of direction or advice can he lend from this point in. He does not believe that we need to agendize any sort of formal action. We can re-advertise this position. And so that's something we can administratively undertake to re-advertise the position based on what council rules say. However, the council rules don't necessarily address a re-advertisement. So I'm going to ask council that the direction would be that essentially what the council rules say is upon a resignation, this is the process you follow. Well, we don't have a resignation because that's since passed, and so I'm assuming today would be the date of resignation or tomorrow, and you'd want everything advertised according to the calendar based on the council rules effective today, tonight, or tomorrow. Probably tomorrow since it's late tonight. So the city attorney's fine with that action. There's not necessarily any concern in regards to the 30-day rule that or law that says that we appoint this position within 30 days. We're already outside of that 30-day deadline, which is unfortunate because the community obviously goes underrepresented. But at worst, Brian believes that at worst a citizen or somebody could file for a writ mandamus in district court and ask the town to appoint somebody. But since we're making an effort to re-advertise and appoint, he thinks that that's unlikely. So with that, is there any further council discussion, or has council reconsidered their action tonight? Or am I going to just spitball this tomorrow and figure it out? I'm not hearing anything, guys. You're wearing me out here. I'm the clerk, I'm the finance officer, and I'm the mayor, and now I got to re-advertise the council position and re-agendize all this. So forgive me if I sound frustrated, but you're all just sitting here with your arms crossed and not really giving me anything to go off of. And as soon as I don't, you get mad at me. So what is it you'd like me to do?
I think I've already said that we are going to have to re-advertise it.
Okay.
Before we even took a break.
Mr. Michelson?
I make a motion that we re-advertise the Ward 2 position vacated by Jerry Phillips.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to re-advertise the position. And before everyone gets squirrely on us, the attorney does not see any reason that this item needs to be agendized. You're undertaking an administrative process. However, it sounds like there's some public comment that's desired. So is there any further council discussion on re-advertising? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain public comment for re-advertising because I think people probably have an input, and so at this time I'll call for public comment on re-advertising the position. Ms. Perrin.
My name is Jen Perrin, and I live at 503 Charlo in Stevensville. And I have a question for the council members. You had two candidates that you approved. One resigned. You still have a quality candidate who is an outstanding citizen of the community. He's on the fire department. He's an EMT. He serves our community every day and is willing to join you guys on the council. Is your decision to re-advertise because Mr. Cruz resigned? You have a quality candidate. Why are you wanting to re-advertise? And who do you think you're going to get? I really would ask you to rethink that decision. This isn't about you. It's about your community and what is best for your community. Thank you.
Any further public comment? All right, motion on the floor is to re-advertise the Ward 2 council position. We'll call for the vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Let's do our best to get everything ready to go tomorrow. Jumping back up to... Oh, new business item A, bid opening auditor proposal. Sorry, I left them on my desk. Sorry, folks. All right, we have one proposal from for auditing services. It is open. The finance officer opened the auditor proposal inadvertently, not knowing it. She saw it came from our auditor, and so she thought it was something about our audit, so she opened it. So we only received one proposal for auditing services. It came from our current auditor, Strom & Associates. And now that that's opened, we can distribute that to the council. I'm just going to try to find a price in here. What? Okay, their price, the audit will cover the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2021. And the audit would commence audit work on January of 2022 and submit a final audit report by June of 2022. And the price for audit personnel and the engagement is $15,000. So we'll have an item on future agenda to approve that award.
Who's the auditor?
Strom & Associates, same auditor we've had. And it was the only one received. Next item is bid opening for town attorney proposals. We received two proposals. Double wrap. Proposals come from Mr. Brian West, our current city attorney, and Mr. Scott Owens of Missoula.
Scott
Owens? O-W-E-N-S. First opening is Brian West. Mr. West, in regards to the price, and of course this will be distributed and made publicly available. At my current contract, which was set to renew for the term of this proposal, bills the town at a rate of $85 per hour for all work conducted for the town. I have been, as the town has put the contract out for bid, I consider the renewal of this rate to have been declined. The proposal for renewed contract would be an hourly rate in the range of $105 per hour. And so previously he discusses, I'd be willing to discuss flat fee rates, but declined to provide an option in this proposal when I was appointed to replace one with Chris, et cetera, et cetera. So the town had been dissatisfied with flat fee bases before, and so we moved to an hourly rate. So he's proposing in the range of $105 an hour.
From 85?
From 80. It currently is 85 an hour. This comes from Owens Law Firm, PLLC. Okay, post-compensation. Mr. Owens proposes $80 an hour as an independent contractor. And $250 monthly payment for expenses to include additional malpractice insurance to cover increased caseload, LexisNexis research software, printing, mailing, and office supply expenses, in addition to training expenses, which includes the annual city attorney training through MMIA and the League of Cities and Towns, and mileage in coordinates with IRS mileage rates. He's included a packet here. So I presume, because there are two submittals here, council would like to consider those two submittals, and so I can bring those on a future agenda for folks to make a decision on what further process you'd like to undertake.
Okay.
We will review these and ensure that they comply with the RFP we sent out, and that all the information we asked for is in the packets. But based on their thickness, I think they're probably there. All right. We didn't necessarily address item B, unfinished business, but it appears that that's moot. So we'll move on to new business item C, discussion decision, temporary appointment of a town council member to fulfill the duties of town clerk relating to council meetings and taking of the minutes. This stems from the conversation held surrounding the last week's meeting where we were without a town clerk, and we will be without a town clerk. At least for the immediate future. And so it was suggested by Local Government Center and our attorney, and it's allowed under Montana Code that a council member fulfill those duties if the council feels it's necessary to have someone present to take certain notes or something during the meetings. So how would council like to proceed? Mr. Michelson?
With my phone conversation with Brian last Tuesday, he did state that, but he also stated out of necessity because Stacy and Robin are working, and if it worked for you, remember last summer, the gap between Stacy Bartlett and mm-hmm. Audrey, when you basically just ran it with the tape and then somebody was here monitoring it and then it went in there.
Sure.
And would that still work? Because didn't Denise take our minutes for this meeting here?
No, they were prepared. I just failed to put them on the last agenda. So
this agenda.
The minutes that you approved tonight from the Committee of the Whole, those were done before Audrey left.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to put them on the agenda, and so I put them on the agenda. The future minutes. I have to find a staff member who has the time to carve out of their schedule to prepare the minutes.
Okay, but so, overtime or whatever it takes. I don't think it'd be comfortable for
us. If that's your direction,
yeah.
Versus appointing a council member, mm-hmm. and the council's comfortable doing that. And I'll always try to do my darndest, depending on the meeting, to have a staff member here to run the projector and get that piece underway, but not necessarily will somebody be here every meeting to take notes of what happened. But I'm doing my best to make sure all the actions of the council are recorded. You'll notice I say who seconds and makes a motion so that when we're listening to it, we know who did what. So if that's council's wishes, yeah, I don't see Miss Philly having the time to do it. She's currently training another clerk, And she certainly has her plate full with the end of the fiscal year coming and utility billing. But it's possible with some oversight that I can have Brittany type some minutes up, but I'll have to proof those, and she doesn't have a lot of experience typing minutes, so. Okay.
Okay.
Any other further discussion from council? All right. Discussion decision regarding temporary compensation for administration during the finance officer and town clerk recruitment, hiring, and onboarding. The finance officer posting went live several days ago, and those applications I'll cover in my executive report, but if you haven't received any applications for that, they're due the 31st. The town clerk position went live yesterday on our website and is being advertised elsewhere as well. And the applications for that position are due the following week, June 7th. So we have a little bit longer of a recruitment period because of the level of these positions. Certainly the finance officer is an individual we want of a good caliber. We need to give them time to prepare their packets. And time for the word to circulate that we're looking for somebody. And the same goes for the town clerk. So we're looking to be short in office staff, trained office staff anyway, for the next several weeks, being realistic. By the time we get applications, if we get applications, I have grave concerns that we're not going to receive applications for these positions. But we may. We'll screen those candidates, hold interviews, do appointments, and then somebody's going to have to train these people and onboard them. So this position, or this, excuse me, this agenda item is essentially me asking the town council how you envision the recruitment, hiring, and onboarding working as far as who you expect to do that work. And then who you expect to do the work during the interim. Mr. Michelson and I had a conversation regarding this last week. Right now, the only person who can run payroll and pay bills is me. No one else in the office has that training. And so that puts me in a difficult position because I have to come in every day and run those financial operations and make sure that the checks go through the bank, because by noon you have to positive pay all of those. And so that's putting a crunch on me. What I'm outright saying is, if you expect me to do that, I need to be compensated fairly to do so. It's not fair for the community or the council to expect me to bend over backwards and complete all of these tasks on a daily basis on the salary I'm making. And it's impossible for me to do it without being able to do childcare. It's not an ideal situation, and I'm not necessarily asking for this as a permanency. I'm asking for temporary compensation. Unless you have alternative ideas that are solutions that will get us through the interim. But right now, we're not in a sustainable fashion. Ms. Parker.
Have we reached out to Nancy Lowell to see if she would be willing to help out with that finance position at all?
We have not.
That's an option. She's somebody that has done town books with finances before.
Okay.
Mr. Michelson.
Can a mayor actually legally reach across and get into and do the finances?
We have internal controls in place, yes. I'm not, and I've discussed this with Brian, and he didn't raise any concerns, certainly in that way. We have internal controls to prevent any fraud. This isn't an appointment where I am an interim finance officer or I am an interim clerk. This is, I'm doing those duties because there's no one else to do them. And so it's not necessarily an appointment of self-emulence, and that's exactly why it's on the agenda. is so that you folks can make that determination and make that authorization, so nobody comes back on me and says, well, now you're paying yourself. No, no, the council and the public had their chance to weigh in. And again, it doesn't have to be me. If you have other solutions that don't require a lot of time commitment on my part to train somebody to get up to speed, then I'm willing to hear those. But right now, we're not, you know, we're kind of behind the eight ball. Tomorrow, I got to come in and run checks for your bills. Next week, you folks probably want your honorariums, or the week following, you probably would like your honorariums. So those things need to continue on, so that's consideration. Ms. Holcomb?
Has Brian been asked about that? Because I know it has come up before about getting dual paid. So
it's not dual pay. You're temporarily increasing my compensation to accommodate the additional tasks. I'm not receiving two different.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I'm not getting a paycheck over here and a paycheck over here.
Okay.
We'll just put it all in one. Here's what I worked. If that's, again, that's the direction the council chooses.
Okay.
Question. We're not quite to public comment yet. Council doesn't know how to proceed.
Hmm.
Ms. Holcomb?
So how much are you wanting to do this compensation for? I mean, I don't have an idea on how much.
25 an hour.
How much was April getting paid when she was doing this?
The range of 23. I don't know the change.
So you want $25 an hour, 8 hours a day?
It certainly wouldn't exceed 8 hours a day because I have another life outside of City Hall. I don't anticipate the work requiring any more than 4 or 5 days a week, so it'll be close to full time because that's where we're at. I mean, that we're especially with the budget, and that's solely on my desk now. So yes, I'm asking for authorization at 25 an hour, and if council wants to say, you know, not to exceed 40 hours a week or not to exceed 30 hours a week, whatever that may be, that's fine. I will be cognizant of the town's time and it's not my intent to take advantage of it, because obviously I'm in a position now where I'm flexible with my schedule and I can do the mayor's duties flexibly with my home situation. That obviously changes, and I'm giving that up and giving up that flexibility. I have other projects going on as well. So I guess what I'm getting at is that it's not my intent to take advantage of the town of Stevensville, but there are two jobs that are vacant that right now we're shifting from desk to desk and trying to pinch hit, and it's causing some undue stress on everyone involved. Does that answer your question? Sorry, that was a really long answer. Ms. Barker?
I guess I don't understand why, if you're asking for 25, but April left at 23, or some change or whatever she was, if you're going to do that job, I think it should be the same pay. I don't think it should be above, you know, above what April would be getting.
I see your rationale. I really do. The reason it's at 25 is because this is a temporary situation. This isn't long term, and I'm not drawing any benefits that April drew.
What do you mean you're not drawing any benefits?
I don't receive health insurance from the city. You provided April with health insurance. So, there. I mean, and again, this is a temporary deal. I'm here to help. I'm not, you know. It's an extenuating circumstance, and it's a lot of work. I see. You know, April. But I'm not just doing April's job as well. I'm doing what Audrey left as well. I'm doing both of those positions with Denise's help. But now Denise is training somebody to do her job. So, you know, I can have Brittany help me with things like typing minutes, but I've got to go back over those minutes and make sure that they're accurate. I'm preparing the agendas. I'm scanning everything in. I'm answering zoning inquiries. I'm doing all of those things that Audrey once did, and now those aren't getting done.
So we have a deadline of June 7th is when the next...
That's when the applications are due for that position. And if it's council's desire, I can provide regular updates through council meetings so that you can continually assess how this is working. But it's not, I think you should fully understand, I'm not expecting that the day we hire a town clerk or a finance officer that compensation ceases. I think it's fair. I'm going to have to spend some time here training that finance officer on Black Mountain and the accounting and payroll side of it and getting them set up in all those systems. I'm not saying it's going to be an exorbitant amount of work, but I would allow for a couple weeks of onboarding to get that person comfortable in their position. And once that onboarding is done, then the compensation goes back to the way it's been, and I'm still available as a resource for that person. But if it's going to take more than 10 to 20 hours a week for me to get these people up to speed and hire in all of those other things, I can't do that toting around a toddler as being as blunt as I can. It's just very difficult.
Motion that way we can get a conversation going, because it sounds like some people have questions. So I would make a motion that we give our mayor a temporary compensation of $25 an hour for administration during the finance officer and town clerk recruitment, hiring, and onboarding, and not to succeed 30 hours a week.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to to increase the mayor's compensation to $25 an hour, not to exceed 30 hours a week for compensation for administration during finance officer and town clerk recruitment, hiring, and onboarding.
Yes.
Is that accurately?
Yes.
Reiterate? Okay. It's a mouthful.
Yes.
I'm sorry. and we're getting to that now. Any further council discussion? Mr. Michelson?
You wouldn't collect your $800 a month on top of that, would you?
Oh, sure. I have to do that job too.
I don't think you could. That makes two rates pay.
No, it's okay. You can give anybody two rates of pay. I have five rates of pay when I work here. For every different thing I did, I had a different rate of pay.
I don't know about that one.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Public comment. Mr. Monk.
This system that you use for payroll and everything was originally set up by Nancy Lowell. Stacy asked you, have you reached out to Nancy to come in and help in this situation and fill in for a little while? You gave her no answer. Okay, why?
I didn't necessarily not give her an answer. She made a suggestion, and I said, okay, there's a suggestion.
Okay.
And that's as far as it went. Regardless, and this is public comment period, not necessarily question answer, but regardless, somebody's still got to retrain Nancy on the computer. It's been a number of years since Nancy's used Black Mountain software. There's been a number of updates and a number of changes in that system. And so...
And someone who's familiar with the basics of it picks it up a lot quicker.
I don't disagree, but I guarantee you payroll liability has completely changed since she took care of it. Further public comment. Mr. Marble, Chief Marble.
I just wanted to encourage you to really think about this. I'm currently applying for a $270,000 grant that does not require a match, but will require significant interaction with somebody in the financial capacity with the town of Stephensville in order to make this successful. So I'm putting in a ton of work on it right now, trying to make it happen. It'll do some absolutely wonderful things for our community. So we really need to have somebody in that chair that I can go to frequently to say, you know, here's what I need, here's how we need to put this together. Part of that is a budget narrative process that we have to have in order to submit this. So, and if I get awarded it or we move on in the application process, there's gonna be a lot of work to do to administer this. But again, it's a huge advantage. I'll be talking about it soon, but I'm just at the initial stage of filing the application. So please take this under advisement. It's incredibly important that we do something and we move forward. Thank you.
Further public comment. Ms. Geiger, step to the podium, please.
He didn't have to.
Well, we're gonna restart.
John Geiger, 222 Turner Street. I think you should at least approach Nancy and ask her if she thinks she could do it, especially after what he just said. I don't know why you would not approach her. Is there a reason you don't want to do that? Just wondering.
Is there a reason why I
would at least want to try?
I don't have a reason. No.
Okay. So could they put that to discussion more about hiring her?
It's council's prerogative.
It's just my opinion.
Okay. Further public comment.
One more question. Better go to the podium.
Yes, please.
I'll get in trouble.
That's right, John.
John Monk, 401 Central. Curious, with as much havoc as we're going through with the council, would it behoove us when we have an agenda like we have tonight to require the lawyer for the council to be here? It might make things a little smoother and get some answers a little quicker on that thing. Just a thought. Thank you.
Further public comment.
No answer.
No.
Okay. Is there any further council discussion? You want to change your plan at all, or are we ready to vote?
Are we time for Nancy?
Well, I think that we should reach out to Nancy. I mean, there's no reason that she can't work along with you, and you could easily show her if you had to, if she had a question. I mean, it's an option that's out there.
Still requires me to be here to show her. I mean, I guess here's the thing, you guys. We're making it more complicated than it really needs to be. I've given you a very simple out. I'll come into work every day. I'll pay the bills. I'll make sure that our employees get paid, that you get paid, and life goes on. Everybody's fine. Instead, now what you want me to do for free is bring in a former employee, retrain that person. How are you going to compensate that person? I'm still not getting compensated for my time. And this isn't, you guys, this is not about me. I know that there's this vision out there that, oh, the young guy is trying to screw the town over or take advantage, my time is worth something. And, you know, what? If I don't come in and don't do it, what do you think happens? Who do you think does it? It just doesn't get done. And that's going to make a lot of people upset. I mean, I kind of liked the life of not having to come in before noon every day in order to make sure that the bills went through the account to prevent fraud. Every day before noon on a business day, somebody's got to come to the computer and verify the checks against the system. And I have to do that. And it's not that somebody else couldn't do it. There's nobody else to do it, you guys.
It was just a simple question.
And I appreciate the question, but I wonder if the council's just trying to find excuses not to move forward on something. And this is something we need to take care of tonight, because tomorrow there are things that need to be done. There are things that need to be done on Tuesday after Memorial Day. We need continuity here. We can't necessarily wait until I can get around to it on Tuesday to ask Nancy if she'd be willing to. Because tomorrow, my day tomorrow is reposting your council position. Public comment, Mr. Barnett.
I just text Nancy, and she's not interested.
Okay. Questions answered. Thanks, Lou.
That's it.
And I'm impressed with the fast fingers on the phone.
I learned something being mayor.
I can't keep quiet any longer.
And Hattie, I'm not going to require you to go to the podium. I understand you're walking.
I'm Hattie Farrell. I live on Charlotte Street. And I want to make a comment. The three council people that are sitting at that table is the reason we lost two good employees in the office. And that's all I have
point
to say.
Order,
and it's time to stick
point of order.
You guys.
Not part of the discussion.
You guys, and frankly, she's not bashing. It's factual. You can look at the exit interviews.
Point of order, Mayor. That's not part of this discussion.
Excuse me. I have the floor.
You're out of order. Stick to the agenda item. You don't get to bring up why the mayor's left.
And I'm not going there. Okay, but you don't get to interrupt me either. So the motion on the floor is to increase the mayor's compensation to $25 an hour to accommodate the absence of the finance officer and town clerk for recruitment onboarding. Recruitment, hiring, and onboarding, and not to exceed 30 hours a week. If there's no further discussion from council, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
No.
Councilmember Michelson.
No.
Councilmember Barker.
Yes.
Okay, motion fails 2-1.
So you refuse to pay for the work he's doing.
That's correct.
You ought to be really proud of yourselves.
Okay. As much as I'd love to move on from this item and carry on with our evening, I can't. What are we going to do tomorrow to cut checks? Because if you're not compensating me, I'm not sure I'm going to do it. It's that simple. If you do not value my time and you're going to piss on it, then I'm not going to do it. And that's what's happened.
I gave you a vote.
And I'm explaining to the council that we're in a very precarious situation here. We don't have that many bills. We have $2,500 of bills to pay tomorrow, and that's a low number. In 2 weeks, we have employees to pay.
Mr. Mayor.
Is that a motion to reconsider?
Yes.
Okay. Council object to the reconsideration?
No.
Okay. I'll recall for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Okay. Motion passes 2-1. Thank you for letting us move on. We'll move on to new business. Well, we're going right to G. Yep. We're skipping the E and F. Those have been addressed. We'll go to item G, discussion, decision, special event, and alcohol use permit for Western Heritage Day. Victoria, would you like to kind of give an overview of the event?
Did everyone look at the permit already or not?
Oh, I have.
It's been in our packet.
Okay. So it's June 29th this year, only one day, all day long. Still have the chuck wagon cook-off. We still have the vendors on West 3rd and the food court, beer garden, street dance on East 3rd. The beer garden is actually on the Stevensville Hotel lawn, just like it always is. But what we ask for from the town is the permission to allow, I guess you'd say, to allow open containers on East 3rd. That's what we've done the last few years. We fence it off. We have security. And we like people to be able to go out into the street dance area with their beer and to be able to eat at those food vendors with their beer. What else could I tell you? There's no parade this year, so we won't be closing Main Street at all. And that was partly because we were uncertain how the construction would go. Turns out it's not going to affect us at all at that particular time, lucky for us. But we weren't sure, so we decided not to pursue the parade this year. The chuck wagon part of it and the Salish dancing will be at the Mission again, but the chuck wagon part will be at Priest's Park this year. Last year it was in front of the Mission and they used an area there. This is actually not even in the town limits, as it turns out. Priest's Park is in the county. But I still want you to know that that's happening. We will put up some temporary signage to direct people there for, you know, on those two days. Let's see. And one more thing came up, a new development. We have the potential to have, with your approval, a fireworks display at the end of Western Heritage Day. We've talked with the fire chief, and he doesn't see any issues with it. It would be right in town. It would be put on by Keith Chambers, and he has that fireworks business. And so he's looking at it as a potential for him to promote his business a little bit by working with us. And we're looking at it as a really cool way to just end a really fun festival. So you'll see in your packet, we always have, upwards of 1,000. So we do need your approval. What else can I tell you? Do you have questions?
Any questions about the event for Victoria?
Where is Priest Park at? Is that the one that sets?
There's a gazebo there, kind of a covered picnic area. If you go down 4th Street.
Balloon Fest before?
Yes. You go all the way to the end of 4th, I believe. Or is it Ravalli? Whatever that second one is.
Yes.
Ravalli. It's Ravalli.
I think it's either or.
Seems misnamed to me because it seems like Ravalli should go to the Mission, but instead, 4th Street goes to the Mission, and Ravalli goes all the way, and if you just keep going, you go right into Priest Park.
So yep. Behind the church.
Yeah, well, it's behind the church and also slightly to the south.
It's a large area.
It's a big area, and they're pretty excited to have the use of that.
So the fireworks haven't been included in that yet?
Because we didn't know.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you want to handle that. I did mention it to the mayor today, and he suggested we write up something and put an addendum in there.
We have to amend.
So what you can do is if you want to express that you approve, that you'd like the fireworks approval, you can make a motion to approve the special event permit for Western Heritage Day and allow the fireworks display. And then when we issue the permit, we'll do a conditions of approval and put in there that they're authorized to do fireworks as well. So you can approve that. But she's running through the fire chief, and he and I have seen no issue with that. So you can make that part of your approval and those conditions. Tonight you're really approving the event permit and the alcohol use, and so fireworks fall into the event, and that's completely allowable. The reason that the fireworks approval is needed is because it falls outside of our typical ordinance. Otherwise, if it were during July 3rd or 4th, it wouldn't be an issue. But because it's outside of the dates allowed in our ordinance, we'd like council's consent to do so.
Yeah, it's a few days early, but it's the timing, I think, is still really good because it's right before the
ordinance. So. Thanks, Victoria. Is there any other questions for the event coordinator?
Mm-mm.
Okay, thank you. How would council like to proceed? Mrs. Parker.
I would like a motion to approve the special event and alcohol use permit for Western Heritage Day.
Okay. Sorry, second. Mr. Michelson seconds. So it's been moved by Ms. Barker and seconded by Mr. Michelson to approve the special event permit and alcohol use permit for Western Heritage Day. Council discussion.
Are we including the fireworks? Okay.
Okay, so this permit approval is without fireworks approval?
Because you just said that you would have to come in front. That would be a different issue.
No. What I meant was, you can consider it with this application, and we'll attach to their permit a conditions of approval state, so your motion can state with fireworks approval. You can allow for that.
With the condition that Chief Motley signs off on.
Sure, and we'll attach that to their permit. Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't my intent to say bring it back to another meeting or anything like that. You can approve
I
it with...
I misunderstood what
yeah,
you
no,
said.
I'm sorry. It's yeah, you can approve it under this event permit. That's completely acceptable.
So that's without the fireworks?
The current motion is to approve the event permit and the liquor permit. There's no stipulation on fireworks one way or another, so it's kind of unanswered.
Can we comment on the fireworks?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Barker.
I would like to withdraw my motion
and
have it stated. I make a motion for the approval of the special event and alcohol use permit for Western Heritage Days with the inclusion of fireworks with the approval of the fire chief.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Barker and seconded by Ms. Holcomb that we approve the special event permit and liquor use permit for Stevensville Western Heritage Day. With the allowance of fireworks, according to the fire chief's approval. Okay. Any further council discussion? Public comment.
I want to just make one more comment about the fireworks. My committee was sort of concerned about fireworks in town. They thought, well, maybe it's dangerous. So we did have a discussion with Jeff about that. And he said, this type of fireworks poses absolutely no threat to buildings. We can do it right downtown. Because the type of fireworks, these bigger fireworks that go up really high, by the time anything falls back, is cool off. He said the more dangerous fireworks are the little ones that people shoot off, you know, families shoot off and stuff. That was one thing. He also said that if we do it, he said, Keith is fully licensed and also has insurance. But you'll see that I have some really good insurance too there in the town, his name. So I think we're covered really well on the insurance. And then one other thing I forgot to say, in case you didn't notice, is actually the Bitterroot Star that's putting the whole thing on. It's not a Main Street event. So I'm interested to know that.
Further public comment on the approval of the event permit. Ms. Beck.
22 Turner Street. July 4th is a hard year for a park for animals. And there's a house right where everything's going to be fired off. I think you should consider that. We have to have, what is it, 3 days of fireworks in July?
We allow them on the evening of the 3rd and all day on the 4th. Okay.
And I personally think that's enough. I do. I would not like to see that.
Just to clarify, too, the fireworks would be downtown, not at East Park.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Jeannie McKinley. I live at 401 Charlotte Street, and I'm right on the corner of Charlotte and Rudell. I have an issue with it, actually, because we do, and I'm not the only one that's got dogs right there. I mean, there's people all down that street that are going to be experiencing all this. Now, is this where you want to have that? Is in that police park?
No.
To clarify, the fireworks are going to go off at 3rd Street in front of the hotel area.
Okay.
The chuck wagon event is held at Priest Park, but the fireworks will be launched from downtown.
Oh, okay, so we don't have to worry about it. So then, and then the alcohol also is up there?
Correct. Yeah, the beer garden and all of that. The only thing happening at Priest Park is the chuck wagon cook-off, which is an alcohol-free event. Further public comment. Mr. Barnett.
Lou Barnett, 419 College. In the past, anytime we've had beer gardens, we have required at least one private security to handle that. That's what ended the parties on Main Street, because the bars had to provide that security. We have always required private security vendors, period. Because if the police could have called them something else, then you got no one to control if it gets out of hand.
The permit allows for them. They have volunteers there for security.
And we actually have paid security this year.
Okay.
Some Mercer deputies are
up to the ante.
I couldn't meet it.
No problem. Any further public comment on the event permit? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote from council. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
All right, that concludes the business portion of our agenda, I believe. And so we'll move on to the executive report. It's been nearly a month since the last time I had a chance to give you a report, so there's quite a bit to go through. As previously mentioned, some of this will be somewhat repetitive, but I'd like to formalize that it's been given in a report. Laura Miller was hired to begin training in the deputy clerk position that's currently occupied by Denise Philly. She's learning all the utility billing functions over the next few months and will be assisting other clerical activity in the main office. So as she gets familiar and acquainted with the office and the routine, we'll be able to kind of give her some more duties that are a bit more unorthodox for that position. So far, training's gone well. Rough-in plumbing has been completed at the park restrooms, and the electrical is completely done. We upgraded the lighting there to LED. We're waiting for the installation of the major fixtures, such as the sinks and toilets. Those were ordered and have not yet arrived. So as soon as they get here, they're coming to install those. Dispensers and other items have arrived and are being installed for that facility as well. The plumber began installation of the pool heater at the swimming pool. The electrical hookups are scheduled, and after the spring maintenance is completed by Public Works on the pool itself, then we'll begin filling, and we're shooting for a June 10th opening. Melissa Henderson, on that note, has been hired to manage the pool this summer. And she's working to get work schedules established and setting up in-service training for the other new folks we're bringing in this year to replace lifeguard vacancies. All departments have submitted their initial budget requests to me, and I'm working through the process as time allows to build a budget that I can bring forward for consideration. With the resignation of our finance officer, this process will move slower than we're used to it moving. We're already near the end of May. This year, given all the different circumstances that exist, I have modified how I'll proceed with the budget in obtaining public input into the budget. In the coming weeks, I'll schedule a goal-setting meeting with the town council to hear your budget goals and feedback from previous budgets and how you'd like to proceed into the new budget. And then I'll be appointing an ad hoc budget committee comprised of stakeholders and citizens here in Stevensville, who I and the department heads will workshop with to incorporate your goals, and then they'll give that public input piece into the budget as well, and let us know how that budget should look for Stevensville. That's a critical piece we're missing in our current budget process, is we don't see the public turnout in our budget workshops. So instead of asking the general public to come, I'd like to appoint a panel of citizens who will come and give us that public piece. So when they're through all of that, then we'll hold a meeting or two with the town council for your review and eventual adoption. So we're just adding another component to the budget process to increase that public piece. Community cleanup was held on April 28th. It was a successful event, and I appreciate the community members who took the time to show up and help with our annual spring cleaning. And there were a number of events that happened that day, so Stevensville was certainly a busy place. As you're aware, the kiosk project is moving forward. Lorraine gave you an update tonight, and we hope to have that wrapped up in the next 30 days. Our commitment of labor and concrete will come from funding available in the general fund. Public Works staff has been working hard to get the cemeteries in shape for the Memorial Day weekend, and Denise is doing a great job helping folks locate grave sites for monuments and visitations. In fact, today we found an error in one of our books where we couldn't find where someone was buried, and their husband had passed away and wanted to be buried next to his wife. Couldn't find her. Took a field trip out to the cemetery, but we figured it out and got it straightened out. So we're working through some of those issues as well, and this is a good time of year to do that while people are out in the cemetery visiting. The vacant finance position, as I previously informed you, has been posted. It was posted on Monday the 13th, and applications are due Friday the 31st. To date, no applications have been received. The vacant town clerk position was posted yesterday. We've not received any inquiries on that position either, and obviously no applications. It's a quick turnaround. This special event permit was administratively issued with conditions in the beginning of the month for the farmers market. And more recently, I'd like to commend Chief Marble for his cooperative efforts with the Highway Patrol for the Trooper Palmer's homecoming yesterday. Further, the community at large should be recognized for their compassion and support of the Palmer family. I, for one, am extremely proud and grateful for a community like Stevensville. May we continue to keep the Palmer and Blanchard families in our thoughts. And then to finish off, well, actually, before I skip, there's a couple pieces I'm going to skip over because we've covered it. There has been some question circling about the allocation of budgeted appropriations and how resources can be redistributed within the budget. And I'd encourage citizens to review the Local Government Budget Act located in Montana Code to see for themselves that limitations on spending appropriations exist at the fund level, not necessarily at the line level. And resolution number 418, adopting fiscal policies for the town, also authorizes a transfer of resources from one line to another within the same fund. And so that's how we're able to accomplish some of these last minute projects at the end of the fiscal year. To finish off my executive report tonight, that kind of covers the business end, but I'd like to share something with you that oddly seems to relate to current events in one way or another here in Stevensville. As many of you may or may not know, I enjoy the occasional hockey game on television. We're in the midst of the Stanley Cup Final, and if you're able to watch Game 3 between St. Louis and San Jose, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There wasn't anything super remarkable about this game, although towards the end, the pace certainly picked up, and the game was tied 4-4. And that was at the end of regular play. The game then went into overtime, naturally, and the overtime period ended with what's called a hand pass. This is a move where a player illegally passes the puck with his hand rather than his stick in order to gain an advantage. The hand pass by the San Jose Sharks resulted in the win for the game. San Jose won that game because of that hand pass. The crowd was shocked, St. Louis Blues were shocked, and no one understood how the game could have ended with a point that was the result of an illegal pass. The answer, though, was fairly simple. Not one of the four officials on the ice saw the pass. And in NHL rules, the play cannot be reviewed and the score reversed unless an official on the ice blows their whistle to stop play when that pass occurs. That didn't happen, and the Sharks took the win that night. That in of itself would seem to be where I would end the story, but that just sets the stage for what was more interesting. The interviews after the game, the St. Louis players answered the very frustrating question, and they knew it was inevitable that they'd be asked, what do you think of the hand pass? So tell us about that. And, you know, they didn't, their response was that they didn't really lose because of the hand pass. They lost because of their performance in the previous three periods of the game. And that's what eliminated, in that previous three periods, they should have eliminated the opportunity for the hand pass altogether. That should have never happened. And that was their response as a team. There's no doubt that San Jose won the game in a less than honorable way. But how the St. Louis team responded should inspire us all to look at the actions that lead up to an event before jumping to conclusions or drawing assumptions. In life, and certainly as elected officials, as we sit here tonight, it's easy to say that one side is San Jose and the other is St. Louis. But maybe all of us here are St. Louis. Sometimes we get screwed and lose. But if we step back and acknowledge our shortcomings, then perfect our game, we can move on to win the next two games in the series, and then compete for the Stanley Cup. That's all I have for my executive. Town Council comments.
No, I'm going to go on the board.
Board reports?
No. Nobody got council comments.
We'll move on to board reports if anybody has a board report. Mr. Michaels.
I had the airport board meeting on the 14th. We discussed hangar spaces were addressed, new taxiways, pay with $3,000 to do taxi work in the hangar, which will be reopened in the next four projects. It will be paid back, and they will be recouped at $750 per payment. We discussed water systems. We discussed well water systems. We discussed difference between multi-layer and single-layer zones. And then we discussed the well and water sewer system. And Don and Greg were to work with the wells and get them up and running and get some more measurements on it. We discussed tie-down fees, and they discussed on whether they want to keep the room or not. And that was it. Okay.
I don't believe any other boards have met, correct?
No.
All right. If there's nothing further then, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Well, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody. There's two sheets tonight. It is advertised. No, she has it. April left on Friday the 17th. We advertised a week before she left.
If we can even get him, I mean, he has an absolute.
That's easy.
Okay.
Would you get back to me on my phone?
Yes, I'll visit with him tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
You bet.
She was watching the TV.
I think it's,
yeah.
Pardon me. Can I do it?